Yo, what's going on? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Nasheed, and I am so glad to have everybody tuning in right now, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to make it do what we make it do, as we always do it. I need everybody to hit that thumbs up button, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Let everybody know that we're live right now. Retweet this, repost this on your Facebook and all of your social media. What we're going to do, family, we're going to take that real quick commercial break. So, family, please don't move a muscle. Do not move a muscle at all. Pull up some popcorn, pour you a soda or a beverage, and tune in because we'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio. Don't move a muscle.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin, by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get the Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Are you looking to start your own business? Millions of brothers have turned to eBay to escape the rat race. Become your own boss and get the Power Seller Research eBook. It's a comprehensive, step-by-step guide that explains how to start an eBay business. The website is powersellerresearch.com. Again, that's powersellerresearch.com.
Are you tired of skinny jeans and clothes that don't fit? We believe that masculinity needs to return to today's society in a healthy manner.
There's no better way to express your manhood than with your attire. Wear clothes that resonate, speak to your personality, and promote positive masculinity.
Masculinity clothing.
www.masculinityclothing.com.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave an op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at ogoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground, so you can feel free when you out in the town. Ogoon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
Okay. You are now tuned into the legendary OG. Tariq Nasheed.
I want to apologize to all my friends.
On Tariq Radio.
Where is Tariq getting all this cash?
Oh, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Glad to have y'all tuning in. What's going on with y'all, family? We're here. Shout out to everybody in the chat room right now, ladies and gentlemen. Shout out to you all. Very busy week this week. We're still planning on doing the huge rally in Washington, D.C. We are still planning for October 15th at the Ellipse Park. We're still getting all of the permit information together. We're still trying to get all of that confirmed. So we're still working on that. So we want everybody to still clear their schedules for that. Also, we're getting all the paperwork and everything ready to close the deal on the museum. As you know, we found a spot and we're doing all the paperwork and getting the inspections done on the museum location. Beautiful spot. I'm very excited about that. I'm going to let everybody know what's going on. I want to wait till we actually close the deal. We've already gone into escrow now. We already put some of the money down. So I'm just waiting on us to close. We'll be closing the deal in 45 days. So I'm very excited about that. And I will make the formal announcement on that once we get everything closed. Because a lot of times we've been trying to get these deals going on and everything looked like it was good, and then all of a sudden something real janky would happen. But this one is this is a pretty done deal right here so far. You know, you never know what might come up, so I'll just, we're looking good right now. We're closing the deal on the museum, so that's going to be a great thing. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into some stuff we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about stopping the erasure of our culture. As you know, a part of white supremacy, the name of the game is to keep us subjugated, and you have to subjugate the group of people who are the most threatening to the system of white supremacy. And the group who's most threatening to the system of white supremacy, that would be foundational Black Americans, because we're the only group that has consistently, the key word is consistent, not just pockets of battles here and there, but we've consistently fought against the system of white supremacy. We are the only group to do that. We are the only group to do that. Somebody said, make sure they check the HVAC. All of that is checked. We did a check on that today. We had an inspection on that today. I want to keep getting off the subject. But yeah, as far as the air and the heat, all of that is perfectly fine in the location. The air and heat is fine. There's some minor things we're going to get done to the floor, stuff like that. But yeah, that's pretty much a done deal. Yeah, the bathroom is good. Everything is good. But I digress. But like I said, the dominant society, they like to try to erase foundational Black American culture in particular. This is why for so many years, they've always had to include us with all of these other groups. Whenever you talk about us, foundational Black Americans, there's this whole narrative that everybody else has to be included. And we've been tricked into believing that them including us with everybody, that's going to have some kind of melting pot effect, that we're all going to be some type of equal, loving coalition of people sharing the same values. And that's just not the case. We are included for the sole purpose of other groups piggybacking and riding our coattails to something that will give them tangible results. See, anytime you talk about things for other groups, they talk about what's in their best interest. We are not included whatsoever. It's all about giving these other groups tangible benefits. We are not included. But when we talk about foundational Black Americans, everything has to be thrown in there. And we are stopping that right now with this foundational Black American movement that is just taking blaze all over the country. Everybody's understanding and recognizing their lineage. We decided that we're going to identify ourselves. That's called getting on code. And the white supremacists and their minions, they are making feeble attempts to try to rebrand what a foundational Black American is, but that's not working because too many of us are on code, understanding our lineage. Some of the feeble tethers and white supremacists try to say, well, we're going to redefine you guys as some kind of a group, because see, if we can redefine you as a group, we can attack a group, but you can't attack a lineage. See, that's why there's this desperate attempt to reclassify what a foundational Black American is in order to attack it. You can't attack a code and you can't attack a lineage. When we acknowledge our lineage and get on code about our lineage, other groups are powerless to do anything about that. So they have to try to redefine. Well, you niggas are a group. You are a head group. Nah, that's not going to work. Just lying to yourself over and over, that doesn't mean anything, because we haven't said we are a group. We don't have no leader. A lineage doesn't have a leader. A lineage is not a group. A lineage is just a lineage. You're either born a certain lineage or you're not born a certain lineage. You see? So there's this feeble, desperate attempt to try to make FBA a group, and it's falling flat, and the tethers are getting very frustrated because they see that's not working. That technique isn't working, and then they have to go ahead and own up to the fact that it is a lineage. Surprisingly, the media site News One, That's old Roland stomping grounds. I think he got fired from there or whatever, or laid off or whatever he got from News One. But News One, surprisingly, they actually did a very fair, a somewhat fair article about foundational Black Americans, who they are, what they stand for. Here's the article right here. This is News One, written by Shannon Dawson. Foundational Black Americans. Let me read this. Who are they and what do they stand for? So, you know, they begrudgingly wrote an article and it was pretty accurate. There were some things that were a little problematic in there as far as the history, but listen, look at this. Over the last year, you may have seen the phrase foundational Black American tossed around on the internet thanks to the world's number one race baiter, Tariq Nasheed. In January, during Twitter space discussions, the controversial media personality sent the buzzword trending when he argued that Black Americans were the originators of the United States. Yes, we're the foundation. Since then, the polarizing author, they keep taking these little shots at me. Okay, all right, polarizing. I'm not really polarizing. The polarizing author and documentarian's belief has attracted millions of supporters from the Black community, many of them who claim they too identify as foundational Black Americans, which is true. Millions of people are identifying with the term. But what does that term mean exactly? The history of foundational Black American. According to the FBA website, foundational Black Americans are descendants of Black slaves who built the United States from scratch, which is true. Followers of the ideology, however, believe that the origins and history of foundational Black Americans did not begin at the start of slavery in the early 1600s. They strongly believe that the FBA settled in the North American continent in 1526 when they were allegedly brought over from the Caribbean by a colonizer named Lucas Vasquez de Ayón. Okay. Now, Ayón actually came from Spain. He came over from Spain, and the people he brought, there's evidence to believe that they were Moors who were already in Spain, because the research on Ayón didn't show that he stopped in Africa anywhere, and they just had a war with the Moors, the Black Moors. So the evidence strongly suggests that these were Moors, Black Moors, who were brought over from Spain, who were enslaved and brought over here to the North, well, the South Carolina, Georgia area. Okay. Ayón and 600 of his men settled on what would later become South Carolina, Georgia coast, but they weren't there for long. The enslaved Black captives organized a successful rebellion against the Spanish colonizers, ultimately forcing them to retreat. FBA historians believe, and they keep saying believe, that the liberated Black people integrated with the local Native American tribes in the region and formed their own community and culture as a result. So this isn't a belief. This isn't really a belief. This actually happened. The Black people ran the Spanish out of here, and then the Black people blended in with the Native American colonies that were already here. These are facts. This is not even up for debate. This actually happened. They burned down the Spanish colony and blended in with the red natives that was over there, and some of the Black aboriginals. And when some of the other explorers came some years later, they saw that one of the queens over there, Queen Kofetacheke, I think that's how you pronounce her name, over there in the North Carolina, South Carolina area, she'd married one of those maroon Black men. They documented this. So this isn't something that's up for belief. This is something that's very well documented. But again, you know, they have to begrudgingly write this article, and they have to be fair to a certain extent, but they're going to still try to take their jabs, but it was as fair as they can make it. The FBA flag, pride and honor among the FBA community, commemorated through the National Maroon Flag. After escaping bondage, thousands of foundational Black Americans allegedly fled to areas around the southern United States, created maroon communities. It's not allegedly, they actually did this. This is very well documented. Black folks going up into the Great Dismal Swamp, Black people going in down into Florida, forming maroon colonies, which would later become the Black Seminoles. This is not a belief. I get what she has to try to cast some doubt, but these are not beliefs. Yes, there were some red Indians, and there were many Black aboriginal people as well. I hear some people in the chat room saying those weren't red Indians. Some were. Some were the Mongolian red, and some, many of them were the black Aboriginal people. Also, the flag features an axe, a torch, which were common weapons used by FBA members during their freedom revolts, which is true. Many black Americans who identify as FBA strongly believe that their ancestors went through pain and suffering to create the new world into becoming into the booming global power it is today. They feel that the FBA community should be recognized for their courageousness as they ultimately fought to create freedom for generations during slavery, which is true. On social media, proud FBA ideologists often debate that American lawmakers should pay some form of restitution or even reparations for the 400 years of unpaid labor, which is true. FBAs don't believe in the concept of Pan-Africanism, so this is a little problematic. They believe that they are a unique group with complex cultural and societal ideologies different from Africans and other black immigrants. That's true. Not to say we don't believe in Pan-Africanism. Other people don't believe in Pan-Africanism. Let's keep that a buck. Don't put that on us. It's black folks in the diaspora who don't believe in Pan-Africanism. Let's get that straight. We've been the only ones pushing Pan-Africanism. Other groups don't believe in Pan-Africanism, so we're just following their lead. It's all about their group, so it's going to be all about ours. Hell, we're going to follow everybody else's energy. Don't put that on us that we don't believe in Pan-Africanism. We've been the only ones pushing it. All right, community members often call those who do not identify with the culture non-FBAs, which is what they are. They're non-FBA. We're FBA, they non-FBA. Some FBA identifying individuals believe that Africans and other black immigrant communities do not respect them or their lived experiences through history. Yes, there's some disrespect. There is some disrespect from other non-FBA communities, and that's been a problem. All right. During this interview on The Movement with Kimmett and Kofi, Tariq and Dr. Afia shed light on their views regarding the difference between Afrocentricity and foundational black American heritage. Okay, we talked about that. Okay, so that's the article. Okay, so again, the article was as fair as it could be. You dig? She took a little jabs here and there, but it was a pretty fair and accurate article. All we're doing is acknowledging our own lineage. We are a unique lineage. We are foundational black Americans who are acknowledging that lineage. And there is no leadership because the code is the leadership. The code is the leadership. Lineages don't have a leader. No matter how desperate the tether class is trying to make it into a leader-led group, which it's not, they have to do that in order to find a way to attack it. And claiming that I'm the leader, which I am not, I am nobody's leader, nor have I claimed to be, nor has anyone claimed to be a follower of mine, because you can't be the leader of a lineage. And the white supremacists were not expecting for us to get on code the way we are on code. See, this is a power move. When you're on code like this and you identify yourself and you don't let nobody name you, that's a power move. When you start naming yourself and defining who you are on your own terms, that is a power move, ladies and gentlemen. You see, I'm not the leader of Harriet Tubman. She was a foundational black American. I'm not the leader of Frederick Douglass, who was a foundational black American. See, they've been identified as African American. But you have to remember, they didn't call themselves African American. That was a post designation. They designated all of these people African American in the 80s. Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Nat Turner, Booker T. Washington, these people never referred to themselves as African American. You know, they call themselves Negro, colored, black, or whatever, but the term African American was later placed on them in the 80s after Jesse Jackson and the white liberals popularized the term African American. So now we're taking control of that narrative. We are correctly identifying these people as foundational black Americans. You see? And that's what it is. And there is no end date for us recognizing our FBA culture. It just is what it is. We are a very unique ethnic group. You think? And that's not anything up to debate. That's not anything to get mad about. Why would anyone get mad at that? See, they get mad at it because the name of the game is to erase us. See, part of them getting mad at us is because, see, there's a need to erase who we are as foundational Black Americans and just lump us in with everybody. And when you lump us in with everybody and we give our culture away to everybody, that erases us. And that's the name of the game. Now we're not allowing ourselves to be erased. So now we're making all of these other groups hold their own nuts. We're making these other groups hold their own nuts. We're not using the term African-American because, see, anybody can label themselves African-American. And when we do that, we give all of our contributions and attributes over to Africa. And we deculture ourselves. And then people will turn around and say, hey, y'all, Akadas don't have a culture. Oh, yes, we do. We are the culture. You see? But we have to stop all of that minority stuff and African-American stuff. No, 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 no. We've made a mistake using those designations. Us acknowledging our ethnic group and our tribe, that's a power move, and that's to stop the erasure. Because, see, they have to lump everything in with us, and we do that, and we let people piggyback off this people of color minority coalition, and that simply doesn't work because these people are so hostile towards us. And when we look and see how some of these so-called minority groups talk about us, they sound just like white supremacists. Now, there's been some more attacks on Asian folks. I think up there in the Bay, I think an Asian Uber driver got killed in a carjacking or something like that. It may have been a Black person, but boy, if you listen to some of the wannabe white supremacist Asians, well, you listen to them. They sound like some of the white supremacists. Now, let's look at some of these people talking about some of the murders that go on up here and how they're getting frustrated and how they're putting it all on us. Hold on. Listen to this guy right here. This is a very interesting. This guy's upset about the Asian person getting killed. Hold on, where's my B-roll here? Here, this guy right here. Now, this guy's trying to use racial code words here. Hold on, listen to this guy. Hold on 1 second. Listen to this guy. Hold on.
Just so infuriated, so heartbroken right now, frustrated. After finding out another member of our Chinese community just got killed right outside his house, execution style, in broad daylight in Oakland. He was just trying to make a living, trying to support his family. And I'm speechless right now because this shit happens way too often. What about the Fujian brother, Z Wen? He was trying to make an honest living out in New York as a delivery guy, and he was killed close range. It seems like the Chinaman's life doesn't really matter to y'all. Y'all be eating the government cheese for way too long. A Chinaman's life ain't nothing more than a fucking Gucci pal or fucking easy shoes to y'all. And so-called boba liberal out there fucking actively pushing and advocating anti-gun laws, man. Y'all need to get a reality check. Because our community's under attack. And this ain't, oh, I'm just so infuriated. All right. So heartbroken.
Okay. All right. So he's upset. I'm talking about eating the government cheese and all that. What's all that about? Okay. So a lot of these folks, you know, they get out here and blame Black society. Remember on ABC News when they were like, well, the Black community is killing Asian folks and the Black leaders ain't doing nothing about it. You know, it's that whole narrative where they're going to try to push it on Black folks. And, you know, they're using all these dog whistles so that these non-Black people can start killing Black people indiscriminately, just like that Jose Alba guy in New York. They just dropped the charges on him for stabbing the Black man. That's what all your so-called people of color allies were advocating, to have that the charges dropped on that man. It was all your people of color allies getting together in unison, justifying the killing of that unarmed Black man. Now, remember, in New York, they're saying that this Alba guy deserved to kill that Black man who was unarmed, who went around the counter to argue with them. The Black man didn't do any, didn't beat him up or nothing. But all of your people of color allies sat there and justified that. Now remember, Kid Creole from the Furious Five, a legendary rap hip-hop pioneer, he's in jail now for stabbing a dude. A homeless dude kind of went up to him aggressively and he stabbed him and killed him. And he's in jail now. So are we going to let him go now? Now that if somebody approaches you aggressively and you kill them, is everybody going to get off or just the non-black people? You see? Let Kid Creole out of jail if that's the case. You see? But yeah, this whole narrative that black society and the black leaders are somehow responsible for these quote unquote crimes against Asians. No, y'all not going to pin that on us because we're not going around marching and supporting anybody who harms an Asian person. It ain't like we're doing what y'all did with Peter Liang. You see? Anytime, let me tell y'all something. Anytime they try to bring up how come the black community ain't doing nothing, just remind them, it ain't like we doing how y'all did with Peter Liang. It ain't like we all got in the streets by the thousands to support a damn killer. You see, always remind them of that. We ain't doing what y'all did with Akai Gurley. Akai Gurley was unjustly killed by an Asian man, and the Asian community and all of these Asian organizations hit the streets and said, oh, no, the black man should have got killed. Don't punish our guy. So we ain't doing that. We ain't doing that. So I don't want to hear no complaints. Don't point the finger at us. We ain't doing that. We ain't doing what you did when a black man got killed by one of yours. Y'all went out in the streets as a community and systematically supported Peter Liang unjustly killing an innocent black man. I don't want to hear no fingers or see no fingers being pointed at us. We're not going to play that game. Y'all sat up here and y'all said it was perfectly fine to unjustly kill somebody, kill an innocent person. You all got in the streets. Your organizations got in the streets and co-signed that. It ain't like we are getting together to support a serial rapist like you guys are supporting Daniel Holzclaw, who raped all those black women, and you have Asian activists out there supporting this man, trying to get him out of jail right now. It ain't like we're doing stuff like that. Y'all not gonna point the finger at us and shame us. We're not playing that game. Nope. We're not gonna play that game at all. But you have a lot of these Asian people who have these anti-black views, who spew this anti-black vitriol. There's this one Asian woman who's trying to sound like the damn alt-right. And she's up here making her statements about black folks. What's her name? What, this lady right here, Glow something. So this woman right here is sounding like the alt-right. Here's this woman here. She's been saying a lot of greasy stuff. Look at this Asian woman here. Hold on. Look at some of the views she have about black folks. Listen to this. Hold on. About slavery and all of this. Hold on one second. Let me turn this up. Bear with me a second. Hold on. Hold on one second.
Hold on. It's going to be shocking for many of you to hear, but did you know that black people are not the only race to have historically experienced slavery? I know this is shocking, but pretty much every civilization in the history of mankind, at some point, their ancestry owned slaves. Because slavery was a worldwide human rights issue for a very, very long time, for many centuries. So it doesn't matter if you're white, black, Asian, Hispanic, whatever. Very likely, at some point, your ancestry down the line owned slaves. Doesn't make it right, but that was just the way of the world for a very, very long time. So all these comments like, you're not black, you can't speak about slavery. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. Slavery was a human rights issue across the world, across all races and all civilizations for a long time. In the United States, was one of the first countries to abolish it very quickly and efficiently. So all the comments about being a non-black person, you can't speak about slavery, every single civilization has experienced slavery at some point.
Okay, that's your People of Color Coalition, guys. That is your People of Color Coalition, family. And that's a talking point. That's like one of them Candace Owens talking points. That's a talking point that comes out of those right-wing think tanks. Because they don't really have a legitimate, that, and that's a response to the reparations movement that's happening, guys. That's a response to that. they don't really have a legitimate response to the reparations movement that's happening. They know that we are owed reparations, and that bogus argument, well, everybody experienced some slavery, so what? We're not talking about everybody. We're talking about foundational Black Americans who are still under the government who enslaved us. We're not talking about history where some of these governments and city states and nation states don't even exist anymore. They want to start bringing up, well, it was slavery in ancient Rome. Ancient Rome don't exist no more. The nation state of ancient Rome, the Roman Empire doesn't exist no more. All of these other nation states that they're talking about where slavery existed years ago, they don't exist no more. And if you have a problem with them enslaving you or your ancestors, you go holler at that government if it's still around. The government that enslaved us, the United States, the government is still here. It is still up and running, and it's still utilizing and passing down the wealth generated from enslaving my people. That's the big difference. That is the unique thing. No other group can claim that. No other group can claim that they are still in the government, the exact same government under the same constitution of the country that enslaved their ancestors and exploited them for money and passed that money down and locked it in through racially based programs. We're the only group who can say that. Now, that woman talking about how basically we got to get over it and there was slavery, everybody has it, so that doesn't make us special. Then if that's the case, go to the Japanese and tell them to give the money back for being interned in those camps during World War II. If that were the case, if people being enslaved and subjugated is just so universal and nobody should trip, tell your people to give those checks back that they got in the 80s and 90s for being locked up in the camps. Tell the Asian community to give the money back. They damn sure didn't turn that money down when they got the money. Don't come to us talking about, well, everybody got subjugated. No, you, your community got their paper, and they were only locked down for a few years. And they made sure that they were compensated. Give me a break. You ain't saying nothing about your community, ma'am, so don't say nothing about ours. Unless you're giving those checks back, you don't say nothing about us. We want our checks too. We are trying to get our money too. Now, this woman here has says a lot of disrespectful stuff to take jabs at us. See, these people, I told people, there is no people of color. You only have Black people in different shades of white. All of these exotic people that you see around here in different shades, different hues, they do not have a camaraderie with you as a group. They do not, man. It's just a different shade of whiteness. They identify with white supremacist society. Now, this same woman, there's a video of her comparing abortion to slavery. That's a talking point that's being thrown out here too. Again, this is to minimize what has happened to us. This is her right here. Again, same woman. Hold on, listen to this. Let me turn the microphone on. Hold on. Same woman being disrespectful. Hold on.
Abortion's worse than slavery. Well, I don't care if this hurts your feelings. I don't care. Abortion is the number one worst human rights issue that has ever happened on Americans. Abortion's worse.
Okay, so that's them. That's her just trying to be disrespectful. I don't care if it hurts your feelings, ma'am. It doesn't hurt our feelings. We see that you're just white ass kissing. So it doesn't hurt our feelings to see that you're being a wannabe white supremacist. Okay, so this whole thing of comparing abortions to slavery is coming from the right and the left. That talking point is coming from the right and the left, because remember, if y'all remember this week, Kamala Harris did the same thing. She made a reference to compare abortions and slavery. Look at how she tried to do it. Look at your girl, Ski Wee, aka Kamala Harris. This is her. This is Kamala comparing slavery to abortions. Hold on. Listen to this. Hold on.
Claiming ownership over human bodies. We know
So that's them trying to, again, that's her trying to piggyback abortions onto us, because they know we're the only really aggrieved group in the country. So everything has to be thrown on top of us, ladies and gentlemen. Every issue has to be compared to us. They got to tie us into these issues to make it seem like there's comparative aggrievement. That's hella disrespectful. Extremely disrespectful, but that's y'all, girl. Y'all love Kamala Harris, ski, we, aka blah, blah, blah. But that narrative is to further erase who we are. It's put out there to further erase our identity. And anytime something happens to us, they always have to tack something else onto it. If something happens to a black person, they have to come out and say, well, we got to do something for black and brown people. This is horrible what happened to black and brown. Something happened to black people. Well, somebody made some anti-black and homophobic slurs. Like right here, family, this is a situation in Mississippi where a police chief, this is a police chief, family, who bragged about killing black people. This man bragged about killing black people. They caught him on audio bragging about killing black people, and they had to flip it and say, well, he was being anti-black and homophobic. He made some homophobic slurs too. But listen to this man. This is a police chief right here. Police officer down in Mississippi bragging about killing a nigga, about shooting a black man 100 and something times. This is an active duty police officer here, family. Hold on, listen to this. Hold on. Let's play the audio here. Hold on. Wait, listen. Using racist and homophobic slurs. Now in the video, I'm eating while I'm talking, I shouldn't be doing that. Now in the video, you hear this man talking about shooting a nigga 119 times. Yeah, I shot that nigga 119 times. But the media said, well, he was making racist and homophobic slurs. There's a later recording where the cop used the F word or something, but the fact that they tried to pull in the LGBT community, this man basically said a word that the LGBT community don't like compared to this man bragging about killing black folks. This ain't the same. That ain't the same, and that's very disrespectful to try to even piggyback all of these other groups. Again, they just can never point out just anti-black racism. They always, always, always have to tack something else onto it. They always got to tack something else onto it. And when you focus on speaking against anti-black racism or speaking against what's really going on, especially if you are in a position where you're working for the dominant society, they try to reprimand you. There was a sister who's a judge, and she said some real stuff in court. This sister said some real stuff in court. Erica Ballou, she was talking about, she's in Vegas. She's a cop in, a judge in Vegas, and she made a real comment about the police. And now these police unions are trying to get her off the bench. You see? Listen to this. Let me play the thing on this sister. This sister spoke some real talk right here. Hold on. She spoke some real talk. Hold on. And boy, they got mad. Oh, they got mad at our FBA sister. That's an FBA sister, by the way. Shout out to that sister. And we need to support her, by the way. But boy, the white supremacists are so mad. How dare you tell the truth? There was no lie in what that woman said. Yeah. You have card-carrying white supremacists working on the police force all around the country right now. You have them literally bragging about killing black people. You have them sitting up bragging about killing black people. They're shooting black people dozens of times. You have open white supremacist gangs within law enforcement, and we're seeing black people getting slaughtered who are getting stopped for traffic violations. That sister said nothing wrong. And family, that's why we're going to Washington, D.C. See, we got to be loud about this to talk about. That's one of the things that I really want to talk about all of these white supremacists within law enforcement. That something has to be discussed, and something has to be done about that. That's something that the white media has deliberately brushed under the rug. We can't brush that under the rug. We got alt-right Klan members, skinheads, working in law enforcement, getting paid with our tax dollars, and we ain't supposed to say nothing. Come on, man. We got to get real about this thing. And our so-called elected leaders are horrible. You got these folks out there again trying to reenact civil rights arrests. They're out here getting fake arrested because of abortion. All of these, look at AOC, phony as a $3 bill. She's out here getting fake arrested, out here smiling, skinning and grinning. She ain't even handcuffed, guys. They exposed her. She got her hands behind her back. She ain't even handcuffed. They're doing all of this performative nonsense where they go out here and get fake arrested. Oh, he got the black power fist. Put your hand down. They're doing all of this performative stuff. This is, oh Lord, this is her. They don't do none of this for black folks. None of this stuff for black people getting gunned down in the streets, but they're doing this for the abortion stuff. Look at them. This is your phony leadership. See, enough of this stuff, man. We got to speak out against this. Enough of this. These are our elected officials. They know how to get out here and get crunk for all of these other things except for us. So we got to get out here in the streets and make sure that we are going to be safe. The elected officials, they have let us down. We have to let them know we're not going to support any of them if they're not going to stump for foundational black Americans. None of this minority coalition nonsense. This doesn't work. This is your minority coalition right here, family. We sit here and let everybody pretend that they have equal agreement, and then what happens is they get prioritized over us. When they start comparing abortion to slavery, yeah, being enslavement and abortion is the same thing. So what we're going to do, we're going to go out here and just act a fool for abortion, and we're going to ignore the real aggrieved people, which are foundational black Americans who were enslaved. We got to stop that. We got to stop that, family. We have to stop the erasure. And I saw this earlier where the Natural Museum, the National Museum of African American History, and this is another reason why we got the museum going, guys, right here. This right here. If you want to know why we had to get the museum popping, this right here is why. Out there in D.C., you know, they got the National Museum of African American History and Culture. Right now, they are hiring a museum specialist, a curator, for Latinx studies at the Black History Museum. They're looking for a curator for Latinx studies right here. They got this USA Jobs museum specialist, the Smithsonian, the world's largest museum, education and research complex with 21 museums, the National Museum of African American History and Culture. They're looking for a curator to tie in Latinx history in the African American History Museum. Lord, the National Museum of African American History working on a Latinx initiative program. In this position, you will assist the staff with research, collections, development, exhibition development centered on U.S. Latin experience, which includes U.S. Afro-Latinx people, art, history, and culture. They're about to erase us in our own museum in D.C., family. They're about to erase us in our own, so-called our own museum in D.C. They can't just have Black history. They got to tie it in with something else. They got to piggyback something else. They're going to start with Afro-Latino. Watch that term, and then that's going to morph into all of this other stuff. It's a cluster flop, family. Family, there's a reason why we got this museum popping. I cannot wait to have this museum open. We are working at a fever pitch to get this museum open. It's going to be blackety black black. Yep, they about to black and brown the damn museum out there, family. Boy, the Hidden History Museum is coming. Boy, this is going to be so black. Man, this thing is going to be huge. This is why we had to get our own museum, family. It could not have come at a better time. Our museum could not have come at a better time, ladies and gentlemen. That's why the Foundation of Black American Hidden History Museum is going to be the place. It is not going to be watered down. Like I said, when I went to the museum, they got a so-called Black History Museum out here in LA. The minute you go in there, they got a big picture of a transgender woman with her ass sticking out. I'm like, okay. Oh, and that's what made me say, okay, we got to get our own museum. When I went and saw that, when I went to the Black History Museum in LA and it was a whole bunch of trans people in there, I said, okay, yeah, we got to get our own stuff. We got to get our own stuff and we have to control it from top to bottom. That's just what it is. So family, we're working hard. Our museum is coming soon, family. We are literally filling out the paperwork, getting all the documents straight. Because when we let them do it, they always going to remix it and do things to ultimately try to erase us and mix us in with these other groups. We're not having that, ladies and gentlemen. We are not doing that. We're not having that. You see, I swear to God, I went into the museum downtown LA and it was some LGBT. And what was interesting, it was somebody, some Caribbean person who was the curator. They get all of these non-FBA people to curate it and put all of this foolery stuff in there. They got these people putting all types of nonsense in there that's supposed to represent our history. You see, we got to stop that stuff. We got people bringing in stuff that fetishizes us to a certain degree. And that's another thing. See, we got to get out of this thing where we mistake fetish for admiration. You see, we got to get out this thing where we portray ourselves as almost some kind of fetish and we think that's admiration. Because see, that slave play stuff is about that. You know, that stuff that was happening, that slave play that was happening out there in New York by that Jerome, I forgot what his name was, who made that disgusting play. See, white folks love stuff like that because they try to make it seem like it's about history, but it's really about a fetish. It's really about perversion and fetishizing blackness in a perverse way. And you know what's interesting? On a side note about that slave play, they're doing a documentary about slave play. They're actually doing a documentary about it. And I got an email. They hit me up. The producers of the documentary hit me up. They wanted to pay me for a clip of one of my broadcasts. They wanted to give me a bag to use a clip off of one of my broadcasts where I was talking about slave play. They hit me up. They were like, yeah, we want to use like 20 seconds of a clip that you made some years ago talking about slave play. And we want to put it in our documentary film and whoop-de-whoop. And I'm like, no, because you know what they want to do? They want to get me to sign off of it. They want to get me to sign off so they can have a part in that documentary where they're attacking my ass. I can almost guarantee they're probably going to try to attack me in that documentary. I can almost guarantee that documentary is going to try to attack me and attack the movie Buck Breaking. And they're trying to cover their ass so they won't get sued by trying to get me to sign off on me letting them use a clip. See, that's how they do. That's the Ike Turner strategy, you see? They got Ike Turner to sign off on the movie What's Love Got to Do With It. They gave him a couple of dollars to say, hey, we're going to use your likeness. They threw him a couple of bucks, and then they demonized the man in the movie. They made him the face of woman abuse. He was like, damn, I didn't know they were going to do me like that. But they made Ike the face of domestic violence in that movie. You see? I don't trust them at all. I ain't signing off on nothing. But I'm just letting y'all know they got a documentary about slave play coming out. And they tried to get me to be to sign off on it. Nah, I'm good. And they better not talk crazy. And they better not say anything incorrect. I will lawyer up on their ass so fast. Now, I'm good. Y'all ain't slick. I don't need y'all little chump change. I'm good. Y'all not a... You're not about to do a hit piece on me and get me to sign off on it. Nah, I'm cool. Yeah, I don't trust them at all. But like I said, this whole thing where we are allowed to be fetishized, we got to get off that. I saw a clip of this chick, this Ghanaian chick. She was over there in Turkey, and she was walking around. She had a big afro out. She had like some little hoochie clothes on, and a lot of those Turkish dudes and those people over there wanted to take pictures with her, and she was like, you know, kind of making it seem, oh, they wanted to take pictures with her because she was just so beautiful and all of that. I want y'all to look at this clip. Y'all better understand admiration between the difference between admiration and a fetish. Right here, this right here. She's a Ghanaian sister. Now, hold on. She was over there running around and bragging about everybody wanting to take pictures with her. Hold on.
A day as a black woman in Istanbul, Turkey. There was a whole group waiting to take pictures with me.
Can I send you her?
Oh, I don't like when people touch my hair.
More pictures. Everyone was so nice to me. I really felt like a celebrity. They must have taken over 100 photos. Ghana girl. More and more photos. I had a whole crowd line up to take photos. I was starting to feel awkward. Regardless, was a great day, buddy.
All right. Okay. So, yeah, she was over there like, oh, people just love me. Oh, look how they just following me around. They love me. They love me. I want to stop on one image right here that really sums up something right here. The image of that woman right there. I want y'all to look at the image of that woman right there. That sums up the reality of it. Hold on. The woman right there. Hold on. Hold on.
Really felt like a celebrity.
I really want to focus on that lady. Hold on. That right there. That kind of sums up the real feeling, family. I want y'all to understand, you know, she's walking around there with the hair all out, which is, I mean, she's not a bad looking woman, but you got to understand that's, they look at you as a circus act. You're a circus act. Now, look, I was just over in Turkey. You know, they kind of look at us. They kind of look and see, okay, these people are American or whatever. But yeah, the fact that they wanted to come up and touch your hair and all of that stuff. They look at us when you do all that, and you know, she's, you know, kind of being a little performative, you know. And you know, this chick is kind of hating, but again, a lot of them, it's like I'm looking at an exotic animal walking around. Unfortunately, that's how they think, family. Let's keep it a buck. You know, a lot of people will try to hide their disdain behind compliments. Oh, I love your hair. Let me touch it. It's like, well, I like your dog. Let me touch your dog. They like you the way they like a dog. Like if you have a well-groomed dog and you bring your dog out, people are like, oh, look at this dog. It's so cute. It's like you're like a spectacle. Yeah, that's not a good look, family. That's not a good look. That's Sarah Bartmanism. That's not a good look. They're not, look, there's beautiful women who go through Turkey and all parts of Europe, but you know, when your hair is all out, which is cool. You got a right to have your hair however you want to have it or whatever. But you have to understand when people are looking at you like a damn fetish. they're looking at you like a wild exotic animal. They look at you the way that if somebody was walking a pet tiger around. Oh, God, that's beautiful. Yeah, yeah. And we understand that. Most FBA people, we understand that. You know? And there's a lot of foreign flags under the comments who are like, oh, yes, girl, you're so beautiful. Oh, they love you. They love me when I go there, too. We know what it is. FBA folks, we know what it is. We ain't trying to do the spectacle thing because the spectacle thing is a temporary thing. You know, they look at you and they're staring at you and they want to take a picture to say, hey, look at what I was next to. I was next to this thing. You see? They look at you as an object. That's not a good thing. You know, sometimes people are just so damn desperate for attention. Any attention is good. No. Now, if you just want to be seen and you want to go, you know, pick your afro out and wear some, you know, kind of hoochie clothes and kind of switch around. And yeah, you know, somebody will look at you. But damn, that's not really a good look. Yeah. But hey, to each his own, knock yourself out. Knock yourself out. Let me show this before I get out of here. Somebody made a cartoon. They got a clip of me talking about Roland. I don't know who made this cartoon, this little animation. And I don't know what y'all do with my hair right here. I don't know who made this. This was circulating on Twitter. And I don't know what picture y'all got. Y'all could have done my hair better. I don't know. Y'all got a picture of me. Y'all could have did my hair better. I don't know where y'all got me with a bayang, but that's okay. So this picture of me, this little mini cartoon of me, they did a voiceover. It's actually my voice talking about Roland. This is funny. Hold on one second. Let me play this real quick. Hold on. I don't know who did this, but hold on. Wait.
Roland, we see you for what you are. The family sees you for what you are. You're just a big, chunky Sambo who's out here buck dancing for a job.
See, FBA, you stupid fool. FBA, I mean, talking about what, asking about what they gonna get some tangibles. Listen, it was me. I was at the Boulay brunch. See, who you gonna ask? Who y'all know?
The big, fat, sassy ass.
Huh? Who y'all know?
Roland Weasley.
Oh God, that's funny. I don't know who did that. I don't know why y'all got my hair all slicked back and stuff, but that's funny. Shout out to whoever made that. Much respect to you. Anyway, man, let me get up out of here, man. Thank everybody, man. I thank y'all for tuning in. Again, check out the No Jumper podcast. I was on the an episode of No Jumper this week. A lot of people liked that interview. We chopped up some very good games. Shout out to the No Jumper crew, Flacco, Adam22. They're very cordial and respectful, and the interview was real, real great. People love that interview. If you have not seen it, check out the No Jumper podcast on YouTube and check out the interview. A lot of good game, family. A lot of good game in the interview. Anyway, guys, I'm up out of here, man. I'll talk to you guys later this week. Follow me on Twitter @TariqNasheed. I'm going to be out. Peace.